Ah, não.
Randala.
He hasn't gone yet, Randy.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You'll find the handout on the Unique Astrological Times landing page. Disregard that. You'll find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 11, the second column from the left. And that opens up to a landing page for the advanced reincarnation classes. And then you'll need to scroll down to class number 34C. When you open up class 34C, it opens up to section, chapter 34, section 5C. Rabbi Yishmael, the high priest. And I'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kudsha Barichu, Ishkinte, Bidhilu, Urchimu, Utkilu, Utkilu, Urchimu. Leachta l'shem yud hei bavavke, v'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael, limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah, v'ayhi no'am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu p'nenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu p'nenei. Before we begin, does anybody have any questions from earlier classes? So I will begin. Chapter 34, section 5C, Rabbi Yishmael, the high priest. It might come as a surprise that there was no one in the entire generation of Ben Azad who could create souls of converts. After all, what about Rabbi Yishmael Ben Elisha Kohen Gadol, who we said was a spark from the soul of Joseph HaTzadik? Why did he not possess such an ability? The punishment of Rabbi Yishmael was the most difficult of all. The answer has to do with what we spoke about earlier regarding the 10 martyrs, that they were the 10 seed drops that left Joseph. Since Joseph himself sinned and came back as Rabbi Yishmael, where those seeds went to the depths of the Klipot, Therefore, he lacked the ability to make souls of the converts. Hence, we find that the punishment of Rabbi Ishmael was the most difficult of all the 10 martyrs, since he was the cause of their deaths through the seed that was emitted. Thus, that which is written with respect to Joseph, they removed Joseph's coat from him, is similar to what it says about Rabbi Ishmael, that the skin of his face was removed. Also, Rabbi Ishmael is compared to Joseph, inasmuch as they were both very handsome, as it says in Perkei Chaykalot. In addition, just as Joseph was held captive among the Egyptians, so too was Rabbi Ishmael held captive. It says that when Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananiah asked, "Who gave Jacob up for spoil?" He, Rabbi Ishmael, answered him, "Was it not God against Lo, against he whom we sinned?" The sparks of the seed drops of Joseph, which fell down to the klipot in the place of the legs. In saying Lo, meaning he was making an allusion. Because of the sin of the sparks of the seed drops of Joseph, which fell down to the klipot in the place of the legs, the yesod organ rests between the legs. When used improperly, its energies fall a step down the klipot in captivity. Measure for measure, the one who caused this is himself exiled. He himself was exiled among the Gentiles. This is what he meant by who gave Yaakov up for spoil, that is the drops. He answered him, "Was it not God against he whom we sinned, including himself?" Lo, Lamed Vav, is a gematria of 36, which is 6 squared. Yesod is the Sephirah of the covenant. From it comes male and female connection. It is the soul root of Joseph. Therefore was he tested in such issues. Primarily, he withstood the test in his so-called tzaddik par excellence. Because of it, nonetheless, there still was as if some slight defect that happened at the time of his test with the wife of Potiphar. Because of his colossal spiritual plateau, it had to undergo rectification. Yesod is the 6th Sephirah. It binds the 6 directions and days and reveals them as one unified arena through which divinity to manifest. 6 squared represents the spreading out of Yesod in all glory to all of its facets. Joseph, the king of Yesod, was required to fix it to the fullest. Hence, Rabbi Ishmael and Joseph was a king. Rabbi Ishmael was the Kohen Gadol. A unification happened in Rabbi Ishmael between kingship and priesthood. This empowered him to awaken and make a unification above for all generations to draw from. The one through whom the repair took place voiced this through the word Lo, Gematria of 36. My commentary. The above comment that one who wastes seed needs to be exiled as a tikkun does not specify what exile is referring to. Perhaps it is a spiritual exile from Hashem, which might then be the secular Jews. Or it might be exiled from family and friends, as certain people who are kidnapped and then put up for ransom. Open your minds to the various possibilities. It may also be an exile from the Garden of Eden, or reincarnation alone. The Midrash Eskenah teaches about the horrible deaths of the 10 martyrs, of which Rabbi Yishmael ben Zakkai, HaKohen Gadol, was one. According to the Midrash, it was he who went to heaven and learned the cause of the heavenly decree of their deaths. It was this reason that none of the 10 tried to avoid these horrible deaths. Some traditions read this Midrash on Yom Kippur, and others on Tisha B'Av. That's the end of the section. Does anybody have any questions?
No.
No questions?
I don't think so.
I have a question, Malka.
Go ahead.
Is that where the 36 Tzadikim come from? It's from Yesod? The hidden Tzadikim?
Yes.
Okay.
The Shoresh for the hidden Tzadikim, their Shoresh is probably in higher levels, but one way of relating it is that once you reach the level of the hidden Tzadikim, you're talking about Yesod of the world of Atzilut.
Okay.
And that's the shortage of the soul.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So let's continue to read Levels of Souls, Chapter 35, Section 1. We have already explained that Cain and Abel took the Nefesh of Atzilut that had been in Adam. The following is the explanation. As is known, all the worlds are connected to each other. Thus, after man rectifies the world of Asiya, he can ascend to the world of Yetzirah and keep ascending even to Atzilut, as it says in the Zohar at the beginning of the portion of Mishpatim. If he merits more, they give it to him. This is as already explained in previous discussions, only true of a new soul, which can ascend from world to world in one lifetime, as mentioned there. The worlds were made by God from the Torah, or the soul. The worlds were made by God from the Torah for the souls. The Holy One, blessed be He, and the Torah and Israel are one. The worlds follow the order of the divine name, outlined in the Torah, and according to the soul root, just as the letters of the names are one and interconnected, so are all the souls in all the worlds. It follows that the souls are able to ascend from rung to rung. Each time someone ascends, it is a new stage in revealing the oneness. Thus we find that all the worlds are connected, and the lower one serves as a throne for the higher one. Each level is a springboard to reach to one above it. Just as wheels propel a vehicle to where it wants to go, so does each level lead what is above it to the place it wants to go. A king sits on his throne and relates to his subjects. So is the world beneath a medium for the one above it to express and give its flow to the places that receive from it. There are levels of souls that are only able to rectify the level of the Nefesh of Asiyah, while some can reach Yetzirah, and others Bria, and some can even reach as high as Atzilut. However, they are a small minority among all of the soul roots. This ability exists, though, only of Cain and Abel, since they are new souls in some respects, as explained, and they therefore can merit to rectify and receive even the nephesh of Atzilut, but no more. However, the rest of the souls are called old souls, and they cannot receive the nephesh of Atzilut. If only they would merit to receive the neshama of Briah. My commentary. This is a hint to how difficult it is to achieve one's tikkun. It's also, this is an unwritten commentary, but it's also stressing that the concept of a new soul, which you may hear about many times in this generation, a new soul, as taught in these modern spiritual movements, has a very different definition than a new soul in Kabbalah. The soul roots of Cain and Abel have two levels. The soul roots of Cain and Abel have two levels. The first is the level of the souls of Cain and Abel themselves. Souls that fell off and remain in the world of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya only. There is a second and higher level, the portion of Adam himself, which he gave to his sons Cain and Abel as an inheritance. It seems to me that it is a spark from the Father himself put into the nephesh of the Son to guide them. This is part of why the child must honor the parent. Yes.
Before you go too far, when you made the comment that a new soul has a different meaning in Kabbalah, were you referring back to many lessons back that a new soul were those that left Adam that didn't participate in the in the sin? Okay.
Yes. That's the definition of a new soul in Kabbalah.
Okay. I just was wondering if I remembered it correctly or if you were referring to something that maybe I had missed. Thank you.
You did. Typically, in the modern spiritual framework, they refer to old souls as supposedly having many lifetimes of experience. But I've never, in the, all of the reading I've done in the from the Ari's original works, I've never seen him use the term old soul. It's always the new soul representing the souls that have literally never been in the world before except as part of the soul of Adam. And they left before the sin.
Well, the reason I asked the question was because during the week I read that the body part of the nose didn't participate in the sin. And so I wasn't too sure of what the comment you made, if maybe it had something to do with that body part. So,
no.
Okay.
They were saying it wasn't that the body part of the nose, it was the sense of smell that didn't participate.
Okay.
Now, the sense of smell obviously is associated with the nose, but it's also associated with the mouth.
Okay. And, you know, we also had the gematria of the nose in one less two, so I wasn't too sure if I was missing something. So, thank you.
I'm not sure if you're asking a question or you're making a comment, so if you want to say it again so I can hear it clearly.
No, I was just making a comment. I just didn't know if all those things were maybe pointing to something, because a lot of times we'll have a class and we'll learn something new, and then not long after there'll be another puzzle piece that'll fit and another puzzle piece. And so
that's how it works. Yeah, that's the way
I had that happen with the donkey, with your, you know, your word and donkey and kamar, and why was not kamar used, you know, so it linked to something else. So when we get to that lesson, I'll ask you about it, or tell you about it. Okay. Get your. Okay, thank you. I don't want to interrupt you anymore.
I'm continuing to read. The soul roots of Cain and Abel have two levels. The first is the level of the souls of Cain and Abel themselves. And souls that fell off and remain in the worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya only. There is a second and higher level, the portion of Adam himself, which he gave to his sons Cain and Abel as an inheritance. It seems to me that it is a spark from the Father himself put into the nephesh of the son to guide them. This is part of why the child must honor the parent. The honor fuels that spark to manifest in the person and help him fully. This is the main inheritance. Other aspects of inheritance, such as finances and objects, are actually branches of this. The second level is drawn from all worlds. It is from the nefesh of Asiyah to the nefesh of Atzilut. Thus, any person whose soul is from this second level is on a great level, because he can rectify from the nefesh of Asiyah until the nefesh of Atzilut, the first time he enters the world. Through this, he can merit to receive the nefesh of Atzilut. Not, however, the Ruach or the Neshama of Atzilut, since they are not completely new souls, as mentioned. I have already explained in previous discussions that regarding this second rung which Adam gave to Cain and Abel as an inheritance, there are two levels, Or Makif and Or Panimi. All the souls of this level, as already explained, for example, Issachar, Rabbi Akiva, and Heskiah, all of them are from the Or HaPinimi of this level. So too is Elijah the prophet from the Or HaPinimi of this level. Later, Nadav and Avihu, who were from the Or Makif of the Nefesh of Atzilut, of this second level, came to him as an Ibur, an added soul. I am adding, this section truly does not need any clarification, since it is a repetition of earlier teachings with some additions. If a student has difficulty with this section, it is usually due to their lack of truly understanding the vocabulary. If one has questions, you please ask them or send me an email. That's the end of that section. The Root of Cain and Abel, Chapter 35, Section 2a. Know that Cain is on the level of the left arm of every partsuf in every world, whether an Arichantin, Abba, Ima, Zerantin, or Nufa, in Atzilut or in Bria or in Yetzirah or in Asiya. Abel is just the opposite, the level of the right arm of every partsuf in every world. The three lower worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya are called arms, whereas the world of Atzilut is called a wing. Thus, Cain is the left wing of Atzilut, and Abel is the right wing of Atzilut. These levels of wings and arms have both Or Makif and Or Panimi as well. My commentary. Why is there a difference between Atzilut's emanation and the additional three worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya? creation, formation, and action. Atzilut, emanation, is the only truly, in essence, true world. As such, the nomenclature wing is appropriate to differentiate between the real and partial illusion. Do not make the mistake of trying to bypass the worlds of Yetzirah and Bria, formation and creation. They must be connected with prior to reaching Atzilut. Thought flies. Atzilut linkage provides wings. Arms are vessels of action and doing. So are the lower worlds, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, vessels through the designs of Atzilut, the world of thought to act out. Thought flies. Atzilut linkage provides wings. Atzilut is the realm of all divinity. Connection there propels the soul, the boundless levels, represented by flying. The lower realms do not ascend in the aspect of wings and connection. They're there only as arms. All the souls that come from the second level that Cain and Abel inherited from their father Adam only merit to reach in this world the wings of Malchut of Atzilut, called the Nefesh of Atzilut, the first time. Higher than this, they cannot reach the first time, only after they come back another time. My commentary. You may have heard the Midrashim and teaching that after someone completes their tikkun and has reached the level of Malchut of Atzilut, they are asked if they want to return in incarnation to ascend higher. This only occurs to souls who originate in the higher aspects of Atzilut. Remember, there is never any change in the endless world, and that is reflected in the world of Atzilut. If one starts at a location in the endless world, one needs to return to that location, having lost or removed the illusion of bread of shame. Since those from this level can reach the Nefesh of Atzilut the first time, these righteous people are called angels. Anytime you find the term angel used for a righteous individual, they will be from this root. God bless God, ye his angels, a verse from Psalms. These are tzaddikim. All tzaddikim are angelic. Still amongst themselves, some are more in this category, such as Rabbi Avraham the angel, the son of the Magid of Mezrich. He was known to be so sublime that people could not bear to be in his presence. Atzilut linkage lists the soul above normal human parameters and grants it angelic status. Such individuals have aerial abilities. This manifests as superhuman alacrity, especially in understanding. Also, they are able to circumvent and as if to fly above complications and get things done. Pinchas did not need to be hidden since he was an angel. Therefore, it says regarding Pinchas in the matter of Rahab, the innkeeper, some explain the text to mean the prostitute. This itself is her praise, coming from a low level and ascending to recognize God and his hand in events. The woman took the two men and hid them, that is in the singular, for she only had to hide one person. Pinchas did not need to be hidden. Since he was an angel, he was actually able to make himself invisible, and he was called that because he was from the root of Cain. Therefore, Elijah is called angel, as in Elijah, the angel of the Brit, of the covenant. Because he is from the root of Cain, he could have mentioned that Elijah himself comes from Pinchas above. Here it is referring to the other part of Elijah that does not stem from Pinchas, yet deserves the title on its merit of coming from Cain. The wording implies that being angelic has particularly to do with the Cain root, even though there are corresponding levels to be found in the Abel root. This demonstrates the principle that Cain, the firstborn, has extra good. Therefore, the likelihood of a soul reaching this plateau tends to come from this source. My commentary. When I first heard about Rahab from my teacher, I was told that Rahab married Joshua, and this was amazing to me on the physical level. A soul of his level would marry a woman from her level. Now it makes sense, since Rahab was truly amazing. From this low level of a prostitute, she realized the truth of Hashem and the Torah. This is an amazing rise of holiness. Now it makes sense to me that the woman Rahab rose to the level of Nadab and Abihu. Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli and the Sons of Rabbi Chia, Chapter 35, Section 2b. My commentary, who is Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli? The answer is he's documented in the Talmud. Many of our greatest sages were sustained at spiritual tables, richly laden with the greatest delicacies, while their physical tables were almost bare. One such sage was Rabbi Yehuda bar, meaning the son of Eli, who lived in the time of the Nasi, the prince Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. It is of no importance to him that he ate only the simplest fare, or even that he lacked proper clothing. His Torah learning sufficed to nourish him, even to the extent that he glowed with happiness and good health. Once he was studying with his teacher, Rabbi Tarfo, when his teacher remarked in surprise, "Why is your face shining today like gold?" Rabbi Yehuda replied, "Yesterday your servants brought teradim, an inexpensive type of beet, for us to eat, and they were very delicious and healthful. And although we ate them without salt, since we had no money to buy it, they were good. Had we been able to afford the salt, the teradim would have been even tastier, and our appearance would be even better." Rabbi Yehuda never dressed in a noble manner befitting a person of his stature. In fact, he didn't even own any warm clothing at all. One day, his wife managed to purchase some inexpensive wool yarn. She spun it and wove it into cloth. From this material, she fashioned a loose robe worn as a cloak. She even decorated it with beautiful embroidery to give it a finer appearance, as was fitting for her distinguished husband. Now, this type of garment was worn at that time by men and women alike. So Rabbi Yehuda and his wife shared it. When she needed to do errands in the marketplace, she wore it. When Rabbi Yehuda went to the study hall, he would wear the new cloak. He was, in fact, so pleased to own this warm coat that he composed a special blessing to be recited before putting it on. "Blessed is Hashem who has wrapped me in a cloak." Never mind that his coat was made of homespun wool, or that others had cloaks of far superior quality. Rabbi Yehuda was completely satisfied with his and never even noticed the others. Once Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel declared a day of public fast and prayer because of a problem which beset the Jewish community. On such a day, it was customary for all the sages to gather together at the residence of the Nasi to pray as a group. This time as well, they all came, with the exception of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eli. It so happened that when the fast day was proclaimed, Rabbi Yehuda's wife was wearing the shared cape. Rabbi Yehuda, lacking a coat, was unable to join his colleagues. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel noted his absence with surprise and questioned the other sages to discover the reason he had failed to come. They explained to the Nasi that Rabbi Yehuda was unable to come because he had no coat to wear. When the Nasi heard this, he was quick to dispatch a messenger to Rabbi Yehuda, bearing a beautiful new cloak. When the messenger arrived, Rabbi Yehuda was seated on a mat on the floor, engaged in the study of Torah. "The Nasi has sent this coat to the rabbi as a gift," said the messenger. He asked that Rabbi Yehuda wear it and come to pray with the other sages. Rabbi Yehuda answered, "I have no need for a gift as I already have a coat. Thank God. My wife will return soon and bring it, and then I will come to the Nasi's house. I lack nothing. As you can see, I am very wealthy." And with those words, he lifted a corner of the mat in which he sat. There, sparkling like fire, were hundreds of gold dinars. The messenger was left speechless by the sight of such an enormous fortune. Rabbi Yehuda explained, "You see, I have enormous wealth if I want it, but I do not desire to benefit from this world any more than is necessary." As he spoke, the golden coins disappeared, fulfilling his spoken desire. Rabbi Yehuda lived as always in poverty, but he was satisfied with what he had, and he exemplified the words of the sages, "Who is the rich man? He who is happy with his lot." Also, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eli was from the second level of Cain. Our sages hinted to this in the Talmud by writing that every Friday he used to wash his face and feet in honor of Shabbat and was similar to an angel of the legions of God. My commentary. Man is supposed to rise above the level of angels. Yet while in the physical world, the highest a man can reach is that of the level of an angel of the world of Briah. Friday is the special time for Shabbat preparation. On Shabbat, the worlds ascend. They start to fly up on Friday afternoon. There are special mitzvot that are then done which help propel the ascent. One of them is washing in hot water the face, the hands, and the feet, the face representing the relationship to the worlds above. Shabbat is the time of complete peace, love, and unity, above and in the world below. Before Shabbat, all the lines of connection need to be cleansed in order to allow them to rise to the coming new level. The Klipot see that the holiness is on the go and ready to go up. They also want to take part and hop on the flight. But a Chashmal fire descends and prevents them from entering. Washing in this world with hot water is an embodiment of the spiritual process and greatly empowers it to vanquish the Klipot. The three places to be washed are learned from the angels, showing that when they are polished, a person becomes pure and angelic. This is all learned from seraphim, from fiery angels, signifying the fire that comes down to destroy any hold of the Klipot. Once one subjugates the hold of Klipot on the heart by means of the fire of love and the fear of God, This elevates him to be in the Shabbat aspect of the entire week. The six wings of the seraphim correspond to the six sephirot of Zeranpin, from which come the 6 days of the week. Friday, the sixth day, includes them all. On Shabbat, the days ascend to their source above and are as if stored in the heavenly archives. One should therefore repent on Friday for the whole week. The physical washing should be accompanied by a soul wash. My commentary. Friday includes them all, and Friday is connected to the Sefirah of Yesod, which is a gathering channel. It gathers all the chassadim and giborot from the sephirot above it and transfers it to Malchut, the Shabbat. Also, the Sephardic minhag is to do a mini teshuvah, a return to Hashem. Also, the Sephardic minhag is to do a mini teshuvah, return to Hashem by saying a particular prayer each Friday morning after their shacharit prayer and before mincha. Some follow the minhag of listening to the Shir HaShirim scroll for this purpose. The Talmud calls Rabbi Yehuda an angel of the God of Legions. This title was first used by Hannah, the mother of Samuel, the prophet. It means the revelation of an omniscience and oneness in the world of separation itself. The week is marked by diversity. Shabbat is all oneness. Friday, the bridge between, is the opportunity to draw from the simple unity and manifest in diverse actions. The whole dynamic, especially manifested in Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eli, who was always super angelic, and so he serves as an archetype role model. Some of how he reached this level can be understood by the Talmud story of him and his disciples. Great sacrifice to learn Torah, as six students of his would cover themselves with one garment. Whatever this meant in the finite realm, it comes to allude to the covering of the garment of surrounding Shabbat light that manifested on them because they were all together as one, the united Shabbat aspect in the midst of the 6 days of diversity. Materialism fragments the spirit. Compromising it for a spirituality pays off in the real sense of affording extra levels to the soul. Yehuda and Hizkiah, the son of Rabbi Chia, are also called angels, also being from the root of the second level of king. Our sages alluded to this when they taught, in heaven two angels, Gabriel and Michael, argue, and some say two Amoraim in the west. Who were they? Yehuda and Hizkiah, the sons of Chia. Yehuda and Hizkiah were as angels while in this world. The right and left sides of Gabriel and Michael manifest in them. Their father, Rabbi Chia, is an expression of the unifying Tiferet aspect. Together they were as the patriarchs in their generation. Therefore, when they prayed together, it could have brought the redemption. However, Hanoch, who received the Zihara Ila'a of Adam, as high as the Neshama of Atzilut, was a greater angel than Elijah. Therefore, we find that one who is from the world of Atzilut is called an angel and can rise to the level of an angel. Remember this. The left arm and wing. Chapter 35, Section 3. Now we will explain the left arm and wing in which is the root of Cain, from which you can understand the right of Abel. Cain is from the left wing limb of Adam. As said, Cain is from the left wing limb of Adam, in which there are three levels, flesh, tendon, and bones. In all five parts of Bim, of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, there is a root of Cain in the left arm and left shoulder, but there is no level of wing. However, in the five parts of Bim of Atzilut, there is the level of shoulder, comprised of flesh, tendons, and bones, and the level of a wing. Thus we find that all roots from the second level of Cain have the level of shoulder with flesh, tendons, and bones, as well as the level of wing which comes out from them. For they are as the feathers that emanate out of the shoulder limb. This is only in Atzilut and not Bria, Yetzirah, or Asiya, which only has the shoulder. We explained the left shoulder previously. The left wing has 3,000 feathers. Now we will explain the wing. The left wing in which the roots of the soul of Cain reach has 3,000 feathers, 1,000 large, 1,000 medium size, and 1,000 small ones. Within each feather there are 150 hairs, which are the level of soul sparks. For each feather there is one hole in the shoulder limb, in which the feather is wedged and from which it grows. As well, every feather has as its upper end that is stuck into the hole a level of blood that is absorbed within it. At the other end, above the head, there is a small section of tube that has no hair. Beyond this, hairs sprout from both sides until the end of the feather, of which there are large, long hairs and small, short hairs. The small hairs are the soul sparks of the small children who died young. There are many levels among them, for none of the small hairs are the same length as is understandable. Likewise, there are many levels among the large hairs, and the length of the hair determines the number of years of a particular soul in the world. Know that the feather itself is a small, much higher level than the hole from which it sprouts, and the blood that is absorbed within it, and the beginning of the tubing that is stuck in the hole, is also a much higher level than the hairs that grow from both sides, and the long hairs that come out from the small ones. Each feather has Kuf Nun, 150 soul sparks. Also know that each feather has Kuf Nun, which has the meaning of cell, as well as 150 soul sparks, which is the gematria of Kanaf, which means wing, Kaf Nun Pe. This number is based upon the name Kuf Cain, Kuf Yud Nun, which contained Kuf Nun. The Yud of Kuf Yud Cain is the surrounding light of this aspect. However, the right wing is the level of Abel, and it divides in another way based upon his name as follows. Each feather divides into five sections, and each section incorporates Lamed Bet, 32 sparks, which is Hevel, Abel, Hay times Lamed Bet. There are also 150 sparks, just as in the case with the sparks of Cain, except that the 150 sparks of Cain in each feather itself subdivide into 150. However, in the case of the Sparks of Abel, which divide into five sections, each section contains only 32 sparks. This is the only difference between Cain and Abel in regards to the configuration of the energies in the wing level. Even though 5 times 32 equals 160, just as Cain with the Yud equals 160, here also, as said, Yud is the Ormakif aspect that is not included. Cain comes from the left Gevurah side, whose nature is to constrict and divide. Therefore, they separate again into 150. That's the end of our class today, end of our section. Does anyone have any questions? Are there any questions? I hope you both, you all have a beautiful evening.
No questions.
Mind you, there are three classes tomorrow morning.
Yes, sir.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.